want to turn in God's word tonight. We have a couple of texts, really. Verse 12, you'll find the words where Jonah in the boat, the storm, and he says, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." In verse 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Jonah was cast overboard. That's what we fairly find here in this reading. So let's look to the Lord and let's pray tonight for his help and for a blessing. We want a blessing to all our hearts. I want the Lord to bless my heart, and I want him to bless your heart tonight in the meeting. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for what has taken place. We thank you, Lord, for the singing of the hymns. Lord, we're singing about the blood. We're singing about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. We're glad of that, Lord. We're thankful there's still power in the blood of the Lamb. And I pray now for help as we turn to your word. I pray for any who's unconverted that you'll speak to them, Lord. This be the night even of their salvation. So close us in with thyself in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jonah cast overboard. Before us is one of the most famous stories in all the Word of God. It speaks about a man called Jonah who was cast overboard and he was swallowed by a great fish. Now, many, many people laugh at this story of Jonah and the whale. And there are many so-called scholars and so on and people who says it cannot. How do you believe this? And how can this be true? Well, we want to say this: with God, all things are possible. And there's nothing impossible with the Lord. Thomas Paine, for instance, he reckoned, and he said these words, and I'm just sort of saying the words he said. He says, if you could swallow Jonah and the whale, you would swallow anything. So that's what he said, this story. One particular other man, he said, well, a bit like Jack and the Beanstalk. You could really take the story of Jonah and the whale out of the Bible and you could replace it. And you could replace it with Jack and the Beanstalk. So he's really saying here about this particular passage of the Word of God, it's a fairy tale. But I want to say tonight from the pulpit, this is true. This is true what happened. Can we understand it? Can we fully explain it? Not really. But it is true because it's found in the Word of God. The Word of God tells us about this. And remember, the Lord Jesus says in John 17, "Thy word is truth." And all of the Bible is true. And this particular passage about Jonah and the whale, it is true. And I say for another reason, the Lord Jesus Christ told this story. He told about Jonah and the whale. Remember in Matthew 12, verse 40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." It's true. It's true. We've read it. We've read it here for ourselves tonight about this man Jonah, and he's taken and he's cast overboard. Now, the background to this event tells us in this passage, commanded of God. Jonah is commanded by God. Jonah, I want you to do something. I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to cry against the city because our great wickedness has come up before me. God can see everything. God can see into the hearts of the people. He can see into the homes of the people. He can see the lives that they were living. He can hear the words that they were saying. He can see the sins that they were committing. And he says to Jonah, get you to Nineveh and get you and preach to that city. He tells him to go to preach in that particular city. And he was to go alone. He was to go himself. And Mr. Harris was talking about a young lad there in Orlando. Alone. He had to go himself. Man, it's all right going to certain places to be a light for Christ, to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. When there's people with you, when there's a good number, you look and say, well, there's somebody there with me, and here's other people with me. But when you had to go alone, and he was sent alone to preach the Word of God, God would send him, get you to Nineveh. Now, we know this story. We've read about it here, what he did. He wouldn't go to Nineveh. He wouldn't listen to what God had said. And it tells us here he went completely in the opposite direction, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the further off. Listen, he would give up everything, anything, to get away from this calling. He did not want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh at all. You can never get away from God. Is there anyone tonight in the meeting and you're not saved? You're trying to get away from God. And it happens. Some people say, if I grow up, I'd get away from God. I'd get away from my family. I'd get away from the church. I'd go to the other side of the world and all of these things. They want to get away from God. Many of our young people today are growing up and they want to get away from the Lord. I'm not saying it's true in every instance, but it is true in some. And here he is. He's running. Listen, he's hiding. He thinks he's getting away from God. And God sends a great storm. The wind is blowing. The ship is going up and down like a cork. Fear is gripping the very hearts of everybody in this ship. They seem to be going to be destroyed, going down to the very depths of the ocean. And there seems to be no hope. But the only hope was us, was in Jonah. He tells them what to do. In verse 12, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, and so shall the sea be calm. I am your only hope. I am your only hope. Listen, he's saying to this people, we'll see this in a moment, there's no other way of escape. There's no other way here of salvation. You've got to take hold of me, and you've got to take me, and you've got to cast me down into the stormy sea. This is your only hope. And Jonah was cast overboard. And I want to look at this together, just and using the thoughts about him cast overboard. And I want to say this, first of all, about the message that the sailors heard. And they heard a great message. And they heard a great message in a time of storm. And I want to tell you, they heard about a sacrifice and they heard about a Savior. The words were very clear. They were very clear to these men. He'd only known them for a short period of time, but they were very clear. And he says to these men, you've got to take me. You've got to take hold of me and you've got to cast me overboard. I notice here, he's saying to them, I must be sacrificed if you're to be saved. I must be sacrificed if you are to be saved. And notice here in relation to sacrifice and his willingness. There's no ifs or buts here in the words of Jonah. He's not been dragged out of his bed. Remember, he was sleeping. I had to go and waken him. Awaken thou that sleepest. I had to waken him up. But they didn't pull him up onto the deck and says, hold on here, Jonah. Do you know where you're going, boy? You're going overboard. Not one bit of it. Didn't drag him up out of the bed. They didn't drag him up onto the deck. But he was willing. He was willing to offer himself here as a sacrifice that they might be saved. Take me and cast me. I want to say in this story here of Jonah, and in this, we have a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. We need to be saved. You're unconverted tonight in this meeting. You're facing a great storm. It's been held off you at the moment. The wrath of God abideth upon your head. You have sinned against God. You have sinned greatly against the Lord. You're sinning continually against the Lord. His storm of wrath could fall upon your head in any particular time. It's been held back at the moment. And the only hope for you tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who says, take me and cast me into the waves of the wrath of God, a voluntary death. Now we find this, the Lord Jesus. He was not ordered to the cross. He was not asked by the people of this world to leave heaven and come down into this world and go to the cross at Calvary. No, we find here it was a voluntary death. We see this in his will. And I marvel when I come to the Bible to think of the love, of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. In Philippians 2, for instance, verse 6, it tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I meet false cults all the time. I've met them doing outreach. I met a lady the other day, and she was Jehovah's Witness. Well, I thank the Lord she took the tracks off me. Usually they don't take anything. And not only did she take the tracks, but I got a wee sermon with her as well. And they deny that Jesus Christ is equal with the Father. And he is, that he is God, but he is. He is equal. He's God the Son. He's high, he's lofty, he's mighty. And it says in verse 7, but he made himself. Notice the words. The humiliation of Jesus Christ. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. But notice, he made himself. In other words, his willingness. His willingness to go to the cross. And being found fashioned in a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Notice the words, even the death of the cross. He was willing to leave the glory, the splendor of heaven. Willingly. He's really saying, take me. Who will go and die for sinners? I will go. I will leave heaven. I'll go down into that world. Listen, he was not ordered out of heaven. He was not dragged out of heaven. Take me and cast me. You see his willingness here. His sacrifice and his willingness. Think about his words. Think of those words familiar to us in John 10, verse 15. And he says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Notice here, again, the willingness of Christ. We find it here in his words. I lay it down. He said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. When you read the Bible and you'll see the evil men coming against the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll see them taking him to the cross and nailing him to the cross, and you think it's all of man. But listen, he says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I find here the Lord Jesus' great willingness to die. Even think there, well, it says in Matthew 27, verse 31, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they led him away to crucify him. Notice the words, they led him. They didn't drag him. There's no resistance here from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not saying, listen, don't put me to death. Don't put me on the cross. Don't bring me to Calvary. No, I find him here. He's following him. He's been led. He's been led to this place. It's called Calvary. And so we find here the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Voluntary. Willing to bleed and willing to suffer and willing to die. Take me and cast me. And voluntary, vicariously, he died. But think here of Jonah. Jonah must be cast over in the place of others. He realized this is the only way. We're all going down here. Or I go on your behalf. And this is what happened with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he died for us. I laid down my life for the sheep. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ not was willingly, voluntary. But he says, take me and cast me to the cross at Calvary, and I will die in your place, and I will die for your sins. Think about Jonah's bravery. He knew what he had to face. Look what it says in verse 4 about the mighty tempest. And that's a hurricane, a storm, a whirlwind. In verse 12, it's referring to this storm as a great tempest. That's a hurricane. Verse 13, tempestuous means to be tossed or whirlwind. And verse 15 talks about, raging. And he was willing to face it all. The storm was terrible. It was great. It was mighty. It was a tempest. The waters were rising up to the heavens and falling down to the very depths. And he says, take me and cast me into the midst of it all. Oh, I think of Jesus Christ, the bravery, the love he had to us. He knew what he was going to face. He would face hell. It would be very silly here for me tonight to try to tell you how much the Lord Jesus suffered on the cross. I couldn't tell you. The wrath of God fell upon Christ. And he died a horrific death. He suffered hell.
And he did it in order that we might be saved. The Bible says he set his face to go as a flint, to go to Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, take me. I know what I'm going to suffer. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be painful. But take me and cast me into the wrath of God. Take me and cast me.
So he died in our place. Should have took me and cast me into hell. And everyone in this meeting, everyone in the human race, should have been taken and cast into hell. But there's a Savior in there. I want you to see tonight on saved person in this meeting. You're in your sin tonight. You're lost. You're far away from God. You're going the way to hell. But there's a mighty, a loving, a great Savior, a willing Savior who can save to the very uttermost. He went to the cross to save us. Picked out the cross in these words. Think about his work as well, not only his willingness. This sacrifice would put away the sin. That's what he said in verse 12. So shall the sin be come upon you, for I know that for your sake this great tempest is upon me. I've run away. I've disobeyed, you know, and here's what's going to stop this storm. Just cast me in, he says, and you'll find there'll be a great calm. I want to say tonight, the Lord Jesus, there's no sin in Christ. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He's holy. He's pure. He said, well, why did he say, take me and cast me? Now, he did this, of course, for our sins. He died for our sins. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, talking about the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, that he appeared but once in the end of the world, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He came to put away sin. And so we see something here of the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, and I think this tonight, he came to put away our sin. He came to die in our place. This is the message of the gospel. This is the message you're hearing tonight. In this church, there's a Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world to die for us, to be our Savior. That's the message you're hearing tonight. Think about his wonder. Because verse 12, their only hope of safety lay in this man being cast overboard. It lay in Jonah. That's the only answer. The only answer. That's the only answer for the storm. There was no other answer. All hope was in this man. We sang that hymn tonight. They need no other argument. They need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. And this is the message of the gospel. Our only hope tonight is Jesus Christ. It's our only way of salvation. There's salvation through the blood. There's mercy through the blood. There's life. Where's this life found tonight? It's found in Jesus Christ. There's no other hope tonight. And I say that tonight with all my heart to people. There's no other Savior tonight. This is the message these people heard. Take me and cast me. You must lay hold upon me. There's no other hope for you. And there's no other way of the storm being stopped. You must lay hold upon me. You must trust what I am saying. If you're ever going to be saved tonight, you must look to Jesus Christ. You must come to him with all your heart and in your sin and say, Lord, save my soul. And wash me in your blood. And forgive me. I call upon thee. Lord, I trust you with all of my heart. This is the message that they heard. This is the message that you hear tonight. Your only hope is Jesus Christ. You must turn to him with all of your heart. And then there was the mistake that the sailors made. Because if you notice here when he tells them in verse 12, take me and cast me forth into sea. Notice the word in verse 13. Nevertheless. Man, that changes the whole picture. When they heard this message, what did they do? Well, first of all, nevertheless, their refusal. They heard a life-changing message.
They heard their only hope of salvation here from the stormy wind, from the stormy sin. And say, listen, you must take hold of me and you must cast me overboard. But nevertheless, we fear here, they refused to listen. They refused to do it. Now, we ask, well, was it pride? Were they saying to Jonah, we don't need you to save us? Was it fear? And I think it may be in a sense. They didn't know what would happen. It's going to be a terrible thing for us to take this man and cast him overboard. Or was it unbelief? How's it going to work out? How are you going to stop the storm? But they refused originally to do it. What do people do today? When we preach the cross, when we preach salvation through the blood of the cross and forgiveness through the cross, people will not listen. They will not come to Jesus Christ. They will not trust him. Many people reject the message. You think of the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. And the Jews just can't see it. Are you saying to me that salvation is in Jesus Christ? He died upon the cross. Yes, we are saying this. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. It's foolishness. And I'm asking you tonight in this meeting, and you're all converted, are you rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? He says, just all foolishness. I don't believe it. Well, these people, these sailors, their refusal. Then there was their rowing. Because you can see here in verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. Do you see what they're doing? They're rowing. Now, there were oars in those days, no engines, and so on. And if you look at the margin, the word about the rowing, it means to dig. They were digging their oars into the sea. They're in desperation, these men. And I want you to see what they're trying to do. They're trying to save themselves. They're trying to save themselves. And Jonah says, listen, I'm your only hope. I'm your only savior. And you've got to take hold of me. I am your only hope tonight. But here's what they did. They got the oars out, and there they're going, and they're roaring, and they're roaring. They're trying to save themselves. They're trying to save themselves. Well, there's many people that got today. They're trying to save themselves. And maybe you're listening to me tonight, and you've got your own wee boat. You've got your own. We're saying you look to Jesus Christ and trust the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. But you're rowing. You say, I've got my own boat. I'm going to make it. I want to say to you tonight, you won't make it to heaven. You'll make it to hell. You cannot save yourself. By grace you save through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. It's Christ. And it's Christ alone can save. And that's where I brought that lady the other day when I met her in my outreach. Sometimes I debate about the deity of Christ and this and that, but I asked her about life, eternal life, and how can I get it? How can I get this life? And I kept her on it and all the rest. And then I got her to the little one. She was a bit hesitant in the answer. Do I have to become a Jehovah's Witness to get this life? Do I? Oh, of course you. Said you had to be a follower of Jehovah. And I could tell her that Christ is a Savior. There's life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he who has the Son is life. And the verses about being saved by faith. And they're rowing. There's people today and they're trying to row their way to heaven. And that's a big mistake. That's a big mistake if you're doing that here tonight in this particular meeting. You're trying to get yourself to heaven. Then there was the rituals, of course, in verse 5, the cry to their God. There were things cast overboard. Reformation. They prayed to their idols. All of these things failed. All of these things failed them. And there are many people today, and they said, I'm going to cast away this sin and that sin. I'm going to give up sinful habits. Now, I hope you give up all of them. I would never decry anyone who says, no, I've stopped the booze, I've stopped it completely, I've stopped the drugs, I've stopped smoking, or whatever the case may be. But that will never save you. I'll never save you. Reformation will not take away your sin. Some people say, well, I'll love others, I'll keep the law of God, I'll join some particular church, all of these things. And why these things may be good in their own place in some cases. They do not save. There was only one Savior. There's only one message. And that's Jesus Christ. And you've got to take hold of Him and cast yourself at Him. Lay hold by faith in Jesus Christ. And that was a mistake these people made, these sailors. They heard their only way. They made a mistake. They said, I don't know. We'll try to save ourselves. We'll try to reform ourselves. We'll go to rituals. We'll try to our own gods. Surely our own gods will hear us. And they will save us. And the storm will stop. But it never stopped. And all the works that you do and all the things you try to do will never save you. I want you to see Christ tonight as your only hope. And to see the blood that can cleanse you tonight. The only remedy for your sin is the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. Don't make the mistake of many false religions tonight. Listen to the voice of the devil. You don't need to repent. You do need to repent. You need to turn away from your sin. You need to come to Jesus Christ and put your faith and trust in Him with all your heart to be saved. I say that to everyone in the congregation tonight. You need to repent and put your trust in the Lord Jesus. I want you to see Him. Maybe you're brought up in this church and you know the Bible inside out and heard many gospel sermons, but you're not saved tonight. And God knows your heart. He knows you're far away from Him. He knows the danger that you're in. And we're saying to you tonight, and Christ is calling out to you tonight to come to Him. Come and trust Him. Don't make the mistake in turning away from Christ. Take me and cast me. I want you to notice here, a lot of time is going on us, the mercy that the sailors found. Well, they tried everything, as we already have indicated. But look at verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. I want you to see here them taking hold of Jonah. They took him. They took a hold of him. Each one of them got a hold of this man, Jonah, the one who says, I've got to go overboard. And they took a hold of him and they're cast him overboard. They cast him into the waves. I want you to see here, they're trusting. They're trusting the work. They're trusting the words of Jonah. This is what he said. This is what he tells us to do. They cast us overboard. They cast him, overboard. And they cast him overboard. And notice here what it says. And the sea ceased from her raging. There was a great calm. That was a great calm. The storm was over. It was over. And they learned here, they learned that it was not enough to know about the sacrifice here. They must lay hold upon the sacrifice of Jonah and cast him overboard. And there was a great calm. And I want to say in closing tonight, when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the storm of God's wrath that could fall upon you at any time will cease. Will cease. Think of those words in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's satisfied with the life of Christ. He's satisfied with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a sinner repents and puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, every sin is forgiven. And their soul is saved. And God's wrath is turned away from them. Because they put their faith in one man. Jesus Christ. And that's a challenge to you tonight in closing. What's your faith in tonight? Is it in the one man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, who was, in a sense, cast overboard? For our sins, shed His blood to save us, calling you to come and trust Him. I'm asking you tonight, you trust in Christ only for salvation. I'm not asking you, do you know about him? Of course you've heard about him, and you've heard about his love, and you've heard about his death, and you've heard about his mercy. But I'm asking you tonight, have you laid hold upon him by your own self, by your own hands, by your own faith? Have you said, Lord Jesus, I come to thee and I'm asking you to save me? And I asked everybody tonight in the meeting that question. I'm asking the older people, if you laid hold upon Jesus. Can you say, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross I cling? And I said to young people who've been brought up in Christian homes, and praise the Lord for that, have you laid hold upon Jesus? Have you asked him? Are you trusting him to be your Savior? Take me. Take him. Let the world go. Let the things of the world go. The ambitions of the world go. Let the silver of the world go. The gold of the world. Let them go tonight. Take hold of Jesus. Take me. Take him. Take him as your Savior tonight in this meeting. Would you do that? Would you do that tonight? If the Lord has touched your heart, you're unconverted, I'd love to speak with you. Mr. Harris, too, would love to talk to you. Don't go home without Christ. What a great Savior he is. He loved us. He bled and died in order to save us and to save you. Trust him. Trust him with all your heart tonight. And he'll give you everlasting life. In the storm, he'll give peace. Now, you'll have your troubles. You'll have your difficulties. But there's a peace in your heart that the world will never be able to take away from you. There's peace with God through the blood of the cross. And we sang that hymn at the beginning. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. Now, would you trust Christ tonight? And maybe there's somebody on listening online, I'm not sure about that part. But if you feel your sin tonight, turn where you are and trust Christ to be your Savior.